Well, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, July 24th, 2024. We begin on the front page above the fold from the Ford County Public Health Department, in search of more space. With administrator hired, agency begins next search for a bigger office. Paxton's. Just as its search for a new public health administrator was finished, Ford County Public Health Department officially began a new search, this time for a bigger office to rent in Paxton to consolidate its operations under one roof. The Board of Health voted 7-0 during its quarterly meeting on Tuesday, July 16, to formally authorize the Health Department's newly hired administrator, Paul Abraham, and the Board's president, Mike Short, to find suitable space to house both its main office and senior services center and to enter into a lease agreement for its rental pending ratification by the board. Short said last Wednesday that the search for a new office building, preferably at least 3,000 square feet and located in Paxton, was already underway and would continue until we can find some place that's compatible and we find a lease that is acceptable. The move would consolidate the health department's operation into one space, about twice as large as the two Paxton buildings currently serving the health department, its main office in the 200 block of North Taft Street, and its senior services center in the 600 block of East State Street, which are only about 1,500 square feet each. For some time, Short said, we've been throwing around the idea of trying to find a building that would be big enough to house the entire department. Just for efficiency matters and getting everybody back together, the staff, around everything, we just thought it was a good idea to try and find some place that would house everybody. Consolidation office aligns with Abraham's own goals of improving the efficiency and productivity of operations with an eye toward the eventual expansion of services and programs, in particular for senior citizens. Adams' hiring by the board was also approved at the July 16th meeting, filling a month-long vacancy. Having operations under one roof would also prevent any confusion over which office provides which services. We still have people show up to the main office on Taft Street and want senior services, Short noted, and we have to direct them where to go. The move would free up the buildings on Taft and State Streets for sale or another use. The future of the State Street building would be decided by the Board of Health, which owns it, while the future of the Taft Street building would be decided by its respectful owner, Ford County Public Building Commission. George said his goal is to secure a long-term lease for the new location. We're not going to do anything unless we're comfortable with a longer-term lease, Short said. We don't want to move into something and then make the move again, because there's going to be expenses getting all of our technology moved over there and just moving furniture and things. So hopefully it's just a one-time move. Short said the Board of Health is looking for office space in the Paxton area due to the public's familiarity with the county seat as the health department's location, as well as the convenience to staff who travel from nearby communities to get to work. Only if no place to rent can be found, Short said, would the Board of Health begin looking for places to potentially buy. Just because there's not very many buildings around big enough to house us, and it might be cost prohibitive too, Short said, so if we can find a place to lease, we'd probably go that route first. Last week's Board of Health meeting was at the Gibson Area Hospital Community Education Center in Gibson City. And in a companion article on the front page, Champaign's Paul Abraham hired as agency's new administrator, 33-year-old selected from among four finalists interviewed and 18 applicants. Paxton. The more that Paul Abraham looked into Ford County as a potential landing spot for his next professional gig, the more he became interested. It did not take long, either. The soon-to-be 34-year-old Champaign resident and native of Effingham and Coles counties was not only immediately attracted to the full-time position being advertised on the job search website Indeed as administrator of the Ford County Public Health Department, but he soon fell in love with everything else that the community itself had to offer. Abraham already knew about the Harvest Moon Drive-In Theater, of course, as being as the popular as the two-screen outdoor theater in Gibson City, still is both locally and regionally. Other gems of the Ford County area that were previously unknown to Abraham were equally as impressive, though, such as the Middle Fork River Forest Preserve between Clarence and Penfield. "Ever since talking to Ford County officials, I've been out there at Middle Fork about three times," said Abraham, a self-described lover of the outdoors. "I'm just constantly outside, fishing, hiking, doing all kinds of stuff like that. I just like to be in the outdoors." For Abraham, Ford County just felt like home, and perhaps it would eventually become just that. Sometime after he begins his new job in Paxton on Monday, July 29th, Abraham hopes to move to Ford County, or at least somewhere nearby. Abraham said he applied for the public health administrator position, which had been vacant since May 30th, almost as soon as a friend notified him about the job upon seeing it posted on Indeed. "It seemed like a really great situation," said Abraham, who was working two full-time jobs at this time, including as a prevention specialist for Omni Youth Services of Buffalo Grove and as office manager for Dr. Nazar Kazim of Muhammad Family Dentistry and Elite Dental Partners. "The moment I saw the posting, I started looking into Ford County and seeing exactly what it was all about, and I pretty much applied that evening. I was excited about the position." The Ford County Board of Health is just as excited that Abraham accepted the job earlier this month. The board's president, Mike Short of rural Paxton, offered Abraham the position on Friday, July 5th, and Abraham accepted the job that same day following a walkthrough of the health department's two office buildings in Paxton. 3 days later, on Monday, July 8th, Abraham's qualifications were sent to the Illinois Department of Public Health, which the next morning approved him serving as a public health administrator. The Board of Health then made it official when it voted 7-0 during its quarterly meeting on Tuesday, July 16th, with member Debbie Smith of Paxton absent, to approve Abraham's hiring as administrator at an annual salary of $77,500. Short said that he and the board are absolutely pleased with the hire. "Indeed," Short said, "he does feel lucky, in addition to feelings of relief, now that the administrator position is finally filled by a qualified candidate. It had been vacant since May 30th, when Seth Russell resigned after filling the role briefly as an interim basis following the unexpected resignation of Donnie Gill as administrator on April 9th. The administrator is responsible for the day-to-day operations of the health department and the oversight of its administrative and fiscal operations. The health department preferred that candidates have a master's degree in public health or a related field, plus 4 years of full-time experience, including 2 years in the public health field. Abraham, an Eastern Illinois University graduate with a master's degree in health promotion and leadership and a bachelor's degree in health administration, who has 4 years of administrative experience and 10-plus years of working in healthcare facilities, said he has the skills and experience to prepare him well for the job ahead. "I've spoken with the board and with Mike Short specifically about what the health department needs, and Mike and I really came to the conclusion that my strong suit is exactly what the department needs," Abraham said. "I think just getting everything organized a little bit better and just kind of back in shape from a just better business practices perspective, that's really what I think I'm going to bring to the health department most. I think it's just getting it organized and getting it done a little bit more efficiently is what we need to focus on. And that's something I've been doing for years, so I'm really excited about it." And now we'll turn to page two for more hiring news from Paxton. St. Ann man hired as next rec director. Paxton. Paxton Park District's Board of Commissioners approved the hiring of Jordan Chapman of St. Ann as the district's recreation director during a special meeting Monday evening. Chapman, 33, replaces Paxton resident Caden Snelling, who resigned in May after about 6 months on the job. Chapman worked for 7 years as director of the St. Ann-based Kankakee County Humane Foundation before taking a position as assistant director of Unified Initiatives for Special Olympics Illinois. The board interviewed four candidates from among 27 applicants for the job, including three during a special meeting on Friday, July 12th, and the fourth on Tuesday, July 16th, before an offer was made to Chapman. "This was quite the experience," said the board's president, Denver Pyatt. "Last time we did this, we had a very limited number of applicants. We had four really good candidates this time, and I look forward to working with Jordan and seeing what Jordan can accomplish. He has a lot of energy, and I think we're in a good spot." The recreation director manages the operations and employees of the park district, supervises its variety of programs and events, and is also responsible for facilities and grounds management, marketing, and budget. The position has been vacant twice since September 20th, when Cody Evans resigned. Turning back to the front page, we have from the Gibson City Council, "City supports solar farm in advance of public hearing. Council approves resolution in support of energy project." Gibson City. The Gibson City Council unanimously approved a resolution Monday night urging the Ford County Zoning Board of Appeals to allow the permitting of a proposed 135-megawatt, 1,300-acre solar farm in Drummer Township, about 1.5 miles northwest of Gibson City. Proposed by Earthrise Energy of Arlington, Virginia, it is called the Gibson City Energy Center Solar 2 Project and is one of two solar farms of identical acreage and capacity that the firm is seeking to build in the area. The other project, called the Gibson City Energy Center Solar 1 Project and located northeast of Saybrook in Cheney's Grove Township in eastern McLean County, already has an approved special use permit. A special use permit for the Ford County project will be the focus of a public hearing before the Ford County Zoning Board of Appeals on 5:30 p.m. Wednesday, July 24th in the courthouse's large courtroom. Statements in support or opposition of the application may be submitted orally or in writing or both. Earthrise Energy's Justin Powell gave a short presentation to the Gibson City Council on Monday night, explaining that the project would bring substantial tax benefits to the Gibson City Melvin Sibley School District and the Moyer District Library, as well as Ford County, among other local taxing bodies, for the estimated 35 to 40-year life of the project. Construction phase is expected to generate 200 local jobs as well. As part of its initiative to integrate into the area, Powell said that Earthrise Energy has supported the community of Gibson City by donating funds to the local food pantry, the Gibson Area Hospital, and the Gibson City Restoration Association. The firm has also given money to support the construction of a local memorial park honoring a fallen war hero. Powell emphasized that Earthrise Energy has done its due diligence to comply with permit stipulations and mitigate the project's impact on the area. Efforts that include protecting the drainage tiles, extensive tree screening around the project area, and planting pollination mix plants under the panels. Powell added that his firm has not had to invoke any eminent domain demands for its leases from private landowners who will be making rental income from the panels. Roger Kramer of Rops Flower Factory in Gibson City, a landowner who has leased land to Earthrise Energy, also attended the meeting to add his support for the project. Before the council's 7-0 vote to approve the resolution, Dickey instructed City Clerk Jan Hall to read it aloud. The resolution noted that it is estimated that in addition to producing green energy, the solar project will generate about $23,900,000 in property taxes, including $16 million for the GCMS schools, create an estimated 200 short-term construction jobs and 18 long-term local jobs, and generate rental income for farmers owning property in the solar project. The city hereby indicates its support of the Gibson City Energy Center Solar Project 2, as proposed by Earthrise Energy and encourages Ford County to proceed with the permitting and allowing for its development in a manner consistent with county ordinances and by accommodating any reasonable requests of neighboring property owners as allowed under its ordinance. The resolution concludes. GCMS School District Superintendent Jeremy Darnell wrote a letter of his own in support of the Ford County project's approval earlier this summer. GCMS provides educational services to over 1,000 rural children, largely supported by local property taxes, Darnell said. The GCMS school system, which houses all of its buildings in Gibson City, has a student population that is over 40% low income, and local community resources are essential for our children to have equal access to positive and healthy childhood educational experiences. The expansion of industrial or commercial opportunities for economic development are essential to offsetting the ever-rising costs of public services, and Ford County is once again being provided with an opportunity through solar energy. To conclude Wednesday's hearing, the Zoning Board of Appeals is expected to make a recommendation to the County Board on whether to approve the permit allowing for the solar farm's construction and operation. County Board Zoning Committee will then meet at 3 p.m. Thursday, July 25th in the small courtroom at the courthouse in Paxton to discuss and take possible action on the ZBA's recommendation and the findings of fact from the public hearing. More on that next week, I'm sure. Lastly on the front page, Gibson City man, age 27, killed in crash. Tyler Hinshaw, a lifelong local resident, dies in wreck. Gibson City. A Gibson City man died in a single vehicle crash east of Gibson City early Sunday. Tyler S. Hinshaw, 27, was pronounced dead at 2:49 a.m. Sunday at the scene on Illinois 9 at Ford County Road 625 East, Coroner Brandon Roderick said. Following an autopsy Monday, Roderick said the preliminary cause of death was blunt force trauma with toxicology results pending. Illinois State Police said a preliminary investigation indicated that Mr. Hinshaw was driving a Ford F-50 West on Illinois 9 around 2:39 a.m. when, for unknown reasons, it crossed the road into the South Ditch where it crashed into a culvert. Mr. Hinshaw, the sole occupant of the pickup truck, was pronounced dead at the scene by the coroner. From about 3:40 to 6:15 a.m. Sunday, the eastbound lane of Illinois 9 was shut down for a crash investigation. No further information was immediately released. Mr. Hinshaw was a member of Plumbers and Steamfitters Local Union 149 in Savoy since 2017, and was a plumber and general foreman at Reliable Mechanical Company, according to a Facebook page posted by the labor union. A lifelong Gibson City resident, Mr. Hinshaw was raised by his grandparents, Doug and Carolyn Hinshaw. He had one 15-month-old son, Braxton. A GoFundMe page has been established online to raise funds for his family to help them with immediate expenses and to ensure his son has the future his dad wanted for him. And now from LODA. LODA Good Old Days Celebration and Truck Tractor Pull. LODA ready for weekend of events. A parade, a truck and tractor pull, a pageant, free concert on tap. LODA. The annual LODA Good Old Days Celebration and Truck and Tractor Pull runs Saturday, July 27th and Sunday, July 28th, with activities at the Village Park and the Tractor Pull track on West Jefferson Street. On Saturday, July 27th, there will be a parade at 10 a.m. with lineup starting at 9 a.m. outside the Tractor Pull building at 206 West Jefferson Street. The annual Little Miss Mr. and Miss Little Miss LODA and Junior Mr. and Junior Miss LODA pageants and kids events get underway immediately after the parade at the Tractor Pull building. Pageant participants are welcome to ride in the parade. Mini Weed Pack Whacker Pull, sponsored by the Weed Whacker Association, pulls start at noon. That evening at the track on West Jefferson Street, There will be a free concert featuring music by Ridgeland from 8 p.m. to midnight and the Mahomet Music Group from 4 to 7 p.m. At dusk, there will be a fireworks show. On Sunday, July 30th, the 13th annual Truck and Tractor Pull will be held at the track on West Jefferson Street with registrations from 8 to 11:30 a.m. and the pull starting at noon immediately following pre-pull ceremonies. There will be 17 classes of pulls for trucks, semis, and tractors. Food and drink vendors will be on hand both Saturday and Sunday, while Murdoch's will be selling alcohol on Saturday only, with a $5 wristband required to purchase alcohol. The Loda American Legion Auxiliary is hosting a craft vendor fair in conjunction with the Loda Good Old Days celebration on Saturday, July 27th, with shopping offered from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Village Park behind the American Legion building in Loda. Vendors will have homemade craft items for sale with music provided by the Mahomet Music Club and lunch and drinks available for purchase from Coffee and Friends of Paxton. For more information, people can call Diane Eilts, E-I-L-T-S, at 815-474-7264. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, July 24th. Rebecca S. Allen, Champaign. Rebecca S. Allen, 64, of Champaign, a 1977 graduate of Ford Central High School, died Wednesday, July 17th at her home in Champaign. Funeral services were held Wednesday, July 24th at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City, with burial following at the Drummer Township Cemetery in Gibson City. Memorial contributions may be made to Charcot Marie Tooth Association, P.O. Box 105, Glenolden, Pennsylvania, 109-19036. C. Berkler, Jr., Springfield. Benjamin Castle, Ben Berkler, Jr., 88, of Springfield, a native of Gibson City, died at 9:48 p.m., Saturday, July 13th. At Trustwell Assisted Living. Funeral services were held Thursday, July 25th at the Stab Funeral Home in Springfield. Burial followed at the Camp Butler National Cemetery, where military honors were conducted. Memorials contributions may be made to Wild Canine Rescue. Bert A. Gibb, Piper City. Bert A. Gibb, 90, of Piper City, died Saturday, July 20th at Piper City Rehab and Living Center in Piper City. Private graveside services will be held at Ridge Township Cemetery in Thawville. Alan J. McClellan, Seneca. Alan Joseph McClellan, 86, died at 6:07 a.m. Friday, June 7th, with his wife Bonnie by his side. Renee McMillan, Gilman. Renee McMillan, 60, of Gilman, died Monday, July 15th at Riverside Medical Center in Kankakee. Funeral services were held Monday, July 22nd at the Gilman Cemetery in Gilman, with Lynn Culkin officiating. Memorials may be made to the family's wishes. Julie Ann Summers, Gibson City. Julie Ann Summers, 77, died Monday, July 15th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana, surrounded by her family. Funeral services were held Friday, July 19th at the Gibson City Bible Church. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the Gibson City Bible Church, World Vision, or Samaritan's Purse. Donald and Mary Sue Weekman, Roberts. The celebration of life for Donald and Mary Sue Weekman is scheduled for 3:30 to 7 p.m. Saturday, August 3rd at the Roberts Gym in Roberts, with food and drink to be provided. Mrs. Weekman, 77, of Fairbury, died at 5:38 p.m. May 23rd at her residence. Mr. Weekman passed away on March 18th. And we'll return to the news with stories from Ford County Circuit Court. First, man 54 faces life in prison for assaulting child. Piper City man pleads guilty as trial is set to begin. Paxton. A Piper City man with a history of sexually abusing minors pleaded guilty to two counts of predatory criminal sexual assault of a child on Monday, July 15th, moments before jury selection was to begin in his trial in Ford County Circuit Court. Carl A. Metke, 54, faces a mandatory term of natural life in prison when sentenced by Judge Matt Fitton at 3 p.m. Tuesday, September 24th, as a result of his plea and his prior conviction for the same crime. Metke, and that's spelled M-E-T-K-E, has been incarcerated in the Ford County Jail in Paxton since his arrest on Monday, May 27th, 3 days after State's Attorney Andrew Killian charged him with five counts of predatory criminal sexual assault of a child under age 13, a Class X felony in connection with his repeated sexual abuse of a boy. In return for his plea, another three counts were dismissed. According to Killian, the victim informed his friend's father in May that Metke had been sexually abusing him for about 7 years. An investigation by both the Ford County Sheriff's Office and a state agency revealed that Metke, who had a previous criminal conviction for predatory criminal sexual assault of a child in 1999 in LaSalle County, moved to Ford County in 2018 and continued a pattern of abuse that began some 3 years earlier. Killian credited the team of investigators and prosecutors who helped bring the case to a resolution so quickly. It is unusual for a case of this type to be investigated, prepped, and ready for trial in 2 months, but as a result of changes in the law resulting from the implementation of the Safety Act, prosecutors have less time to prepare cases when a defendant is in jail awaiting trial, Killian said. Lieutenant Jason Buckner of the Ford County Sheriff's Office, along with Deputy Destiny Thornborough, conducted a thorough investigation of the allegations. They, along with Champaign County Child Advocacy Center, deserve a lot of the credit for this case being resolved without the victim being required to testify about the abuse they suffered at the hands of Mr. Metke. Along with the Sheriff's Department, the prosecuting team included an investigative team from another state agency, an advocate from Clove Alliance, and the paralegal Cassie Schwartz, who coordinated and attended interviews as well as assisted in trial preparation. This was a textbook example of coordination and cooperation between many moving parts working towards a single goal and protecting the victim from further abuse. However, there could not be a successful prosecution if it were not for the strength and courage of the victim coming forward and recounting the abuse they suffered as a result of Mr. Metke's actions. That individual can hopefully now begin the difficult path of healing, knowing that they ensured that Mr. Metke will never hurt another child. Metke was represented by public defender Harvey Welch. And also from Ford County Circuit Court, felon gets 14 years for unlawfully having gun. Former Roberts man, 46, pleads guilty in two cases. Paxton. A former Roberts man was sentenced to 14 years in state prison July 16th after pleading guilty to charges filed in both 2022 and 2023 of unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon. Tony Cole, 46, pleaded guilty as his jury trial was set to begin before Circuit Judge Matt Fitton. In addition, his term in the Illinois Department of Corrections, which includes 6 years of incarceration in the 2022 case, and 8 years in the 2023 case to be served consecutively and subject to pretrial and good time credit, Cole was ordered to pay restitution to the Ford County Sheriff's Office to replace a television he damaged while detained ahead of trial at the county jail in Paxton. Cole has been in custody since October 23rd as a result of a petition to revoke his pretrial release, which Killian filed with the Safety Act when the Safety Act took effect a month earlier. Cole was representing himself when he pleaded guilty, having discharged his prior attorneys, public defender Harvey Welch and Bloomington-based attorney Jennifer Patton. And that's all the time we have for today's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you very soon.